Hey, everybody. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Tessie.
And we're the hosts of the Mama Bear Dares podcast. Welcome to our latest episode. Once again, we're talking about motherhood, womanhood, and what it's like to be a lady in this complex world.
Yes.
How do we not lose the core of who we are while attending to our children? How can we be a good spouse and a good friend in the midst of the busyness of life? Who am I? What's the state of my soul? These are actually the kinds of questions that we spend time searching for the answers to on this podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us.
That escalated quickly, but I appreciate it.
Please, someone tell me. Who am I?
So Leslie, as you know, today we talked to Meg Dirksen. Meg is a popular blogger and the owner of a place that's just brilliant. She owns something she calls the Craft House. It's a retreat site for groups of women to gather and create. How amazing is that? I mean, she sets you up, she teaches you new things, she makes you margaritas that I have heard are delicious, and she takes you thrifting.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie, baby. This is like, if your alley is here, it is right up there.
It actually, like, as you were saying that description of Meg's Craft House, I actually thought I was being ushered into heaven. I mean, crafting, margaritas, thrifting, girlfriends, she's really onto something.
She is. I mean, St. Peter who? Tessie is the one who ushers everybody into heaven. Through margaritas right. And a craft house. And Meg. Mm-hmm. Meg also.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So we thought, before we got into our time with Meg, which was so fun, it was so great hearing, I don't know about you, I just love hearing about how people almost stumble into genius, right? It's never an intentional thing with our guests. We've noticed this is a theme. It just, things happen and stars align and then boom, the craft house is made. Yeah. So I can't wait for the episode, but we thought we would do a fun segment called Pinteresting. Very Pinteresting.
Very Pinteresting. Well, I can't wait for that. But first we need to thank our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audible.com/mamabeardares.
Yes, and thank you to all who have used our Amazon banner ad on our website. Remember, it doesn't cost you anything extra, but it does help the Mama Bear Dares podcast. So we appreciate you making that part of your Amazon purchase routine. So should we get on to our segment?
Absolutely.
Pinteresting. Very Pinteresting.
Are you stroking your fake beard when you say that?
Of course. So, in this segment, we are going to talk about things that we see on Pinterest. But first,
okay,
I think we should practice our Pinterest intake. Because if anyone out there is like me, it's a real love-hate relationship with Pinterest. I love it. It's a fantastic resource. I think it's really, really fun. But there are times, there have been times, when I have gone to Pinterest and pulled up my feed that it sends me into a spiral of shame because I sometimes will look and be like, I can't do this. I don't have the fine motor skills to create these crafts. Like, I don't have the vision. All of these
never
things.
Has the spiral of shame included fine motor skills.
No, you know what it's like to live in my head. So we need to practice our Pinterest intake, and we are going to walk through this. We're going to...
Is this like a visualization type of situation?
A little bit. You'll see. Just stay with me here. But the very most basic tenet of viewing Pinterest in a healthy way, I believe, is to approach it with an attitude of celebration, not mm-hmm. comparison.
Right.
So let's practice. Let's say okay. you jump on.
Yep, here I am.
You see a perfectly set table.
Okay.
It is amazing. It's probably a farmhouse table, mm-hmm. like upcycled barn wood.
Of course.
There's an amazing floral centerpiece. Mm-hmm. Probably a little wild,
yep.
like with natural elements. There's beautiful china. There's shiny flatware. There's just the right amount of soy candles, which have wooden wick.
Did you make the soy candles? Like, did they look like something you have made?
Oh, they were totally homemade, okay. for sure. Okay. So we're picturing
yep,
this,
I
right?
I can see it.
The incorrect response yes. is, oh my God, I could never do that.
Mm.
Like, I am the worst. Let me just spiral into my cycle of shame. I couldn't ever pick out such beautiful china. Where on earth would I find that centerpiece? Like, it's too much. I can't do it. I'm terrible.
Bad.
Okay, so that's the incorrect response. We can do better. Mm-hmm. So here is what that response might sound like. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful table. Someone worked really hard on that. What great taste they have. What fantastic tenacity they must have to pull that together. I bet I could pull that off. If I talk to a friend and maybe we could work together on this, like this is really beautiful. And isn't that what we want? We want like a really lovely setting for our friends to gather and for us to talk about life together.
Mm.
What a gift this picture is. I'm so inspired.
Okay, so we have to become basically Red Riding Hood. What big eyes you have. What big nose you have, Grandma. An observer and not a judger is what you're saying.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
I'm down.
Okay, so let's do one more.
Oh.
I feel like,
okay, we need
you know, for yep. some of us, this is a thing.
Okay.
Like, this is something we need to work at.
Okay.
So here's another one. We open it up.
Yep.
We see this perfect kitchen.
Ugh.
It's got a farmhouse sink. It's got stainless
yes,
appliances,
yes.
the cutest backsplash you've ever seen. And, of course, there's a couch. This kitchen, it's just made for perfect parties and perfect meals.
Ugh.
Here's what part of your brain is going to want you to do.
Okay.
It's going to want you to say, like, ugh. I could never have that kitchen. My kids are so messy. Everything would be trashed. I could never afford that. I mean, I couldn't pick out that paint and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do better. We can look at this picture and we can be inspired by it. We can say, that is so beautiful. I've never thought about putting a couch in my kitchen before, but I might like that. It just might change my life. So
okay.
I think we get the idea. So
okay.
that we've got to just make sure that we're on the same page here.
And Mama Bears, if you find yourself doing the first part of those examples, then all you have to do is Mama Bear Dare It. Okay? We're going to change the structure of our podcast name, and we're going to encourage people to just Mama Bear Dare It and go to the celebration.
Hashtag Mama Bear Dare It.
Yep.
Let's celebrate.
All right.
Okay. So, on to the interesting things we're seeing on Pinterest. What are you pinning these days, Tessie?
I basically only pin food. For those who know me, will not be surprised by this because I really do think about food, I would say 90% of my time. You know how they say men think about sex like every 3 minutes? I think
mm-hmm.
I think about food every minute and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's just something that I always strive to be a better cook. I love cooking, but I love mm-hmm. eating more. And so I actually just pinned the peanut butter cup pie vegan thing that Jake made a few weekends
mm-hmm.
ago.
Oh, he made that actually for Daffodil's
yes,
first birthday party.
For Daffy's first party that didn't have streamers. We're not judging.
Right.
It was so delicious.
It was so good. It That's right.
So
you got
good.
Some too.
Yes, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
But that's the most recent thing I've pinned. What about you?
I've pinned a lot of stuff lately for the co-working space because we are moving into a new space, and so it's like we have this blank slate, and I'm getting so many fun ideas on that. But the thing I wanted to bring up today was just one of a quote, an inspirational quote that someone had put onto this beautiful backdrop, but it says, "Be who you needed when you were younger."
Yeah.
And I just, it gave me pause. I thought, oh, that's so interesting. You know, be who you needed when you were younger. So if I were to look back to, for instance, like my brand new mother self, what would I need? Who did she need in her life that I can now be maybe for someone else in that stage?
Yeah.
Because I remember back then, I mean, oh my gosh, I was tired and overwhelmed, and it just as it is for everyone, it's an intense experience to have a brand new baby in your care. So if I were to be the person that my younger self needed in that case, I think I need to be the lady who like shows up and holds your baby while you do like take a shower or something, or like I show up and I vacuum for you, you know, while you're napping or something like that. So there's lots of ways that you can kind of be that person that would have helped your younger self. So I thought that was interesting to think about. There's many stages, many answers to what that might look like. And I think it was especially true for me at that time because we didn't have family around, and I was the first out of all of my friends to have a baby. And so no one really was there to know these things. I didn't know what I needed, and I don't think anyone else knew what I needed either. So hopefully, you know, I can be that to somebody else.
I think that's awesome, Leslie, and it's going to give me pause to think about too as my kids enter new stages and their friends and my friends. I think that's some wise things to consider there. And I think we did a pretty decent job at our first time with the segment Pinteresting. Very Pinteresting.
Mostly I just love saying
it's
that.
It's true. But do you know who I think? I mean, I'm sure her stuff probably is all over Pinterest, but I think Meg is probably the queen of Pinterest.
She is the master of Pinteresting, for sure.
Yes.
So let's drop into our conversation.
Let's do it. Hey, Mama Bears. Today, our guest is Meg Dirksen. She is the creative, kind genius behind the wildly successful blog MegDirksen.com. She lives in Kansas with her husband and five children, which makes us basically sisters. I can't wait to hear how she took her extraordinary talent in creating from hobby to successful business. I also can't wait until she agrees to help me decorate and design my whole house. Until then, Meg, welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast.
Hello. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Meg, before I knew that we were connected through Tessie and a few other mutual friends and acquaintances, I have a friend here, her name's Angie, and she had told me about this weekend crafting retreat that she had gone on with her girlfriends. She said it was in Kansas and that it was amazing. And I really loved just hearing from Angie about this idea of going away on this purposeful retreat, and I was really intrigued. And it turns out that it was your house. And this is before, you know, years before I knew that we were connected in this very small world. So tell us about this craft house of yours, and how it got started, and just a little bit about how it serves as kind of this meaningful place for women to gather.
Well, the house, we call it the craft house, and we used to live in it, my family, my five children, and my husband, and we lived there for 7 years, and we redid it all, and it's a 100-year-old house, and we just, room by room, went through and made it the way that we wanted it to look, and And then we ended up deciding to put our kids in a different school system. And so that was a lot of driving every day, and we kind of decided. So then we slowly, over time, decided to move. And at the same time, not related at all, we started doing I started hosting retreats, these craft retreats, but it wasn't planned that it would be like, oh, we'll move, and then we'll, you know, so that we can have this business at all. It was really just like, well, that would be fun. Let's do one of those. And then other people were like, well, I want to come. And so it turned into like this thing accidentally. I mean, really, God had it planned, but I didn't have it planned at all. It was, you know, my kids were little and starting school, and like my youngest was starting kindergarten, and like that age. So I was still, that was my mind. And like, well, I'm going to have to get a job like that, kind of like that. It was kind of at that time of where all my kids will be in school and I'm going to need to get a job. And I was like, absolutely dreading going to work. I couldn't imagine doing that after 13 years of being at home. And, but it was kind of like, no, you have to do something. My husband was like, you have to do something. And so, it really was just God's plan to like all of this to happen, because I don't know that I could have done it, done a different job. And then I wouldn't have been able to come up with this idea either. I think God just planned that all out. And so what we do at the house, we ended up moving out of our house. It all just worked out perfectly. We moved out to a great little rental house that was out in the country on a farm, and it was wonderful. And so then our house that we were in was empty. Like we were allowed to, you know, we could move out because we had a rental that was close by. Mm-hmm. And so the big house that we were in was empty, and then we could give it a try and see if we could do these retreats as something every month. And so we did. And we did that we've been doing that for 5 years now. And it is super fun. Women come from all over. Every time it's a different group. They don't know each other. Maybe sometimes people will come with a friend or with two friends. But at every weekend that we've done, there's always at least two or three that come on their own, mm-hmm. which is super brave to just get on a plane and like, I'm just going to go and be with all these strangers. But it always is great. And every group has been, everybody always says, you know, aren't you worried there's just going to be a terrible group? But we've done over 30 weekends and there's never been a terrible group, and, you know, never been anyone like, oh, someone's so crazy or anything like that. It's always great. Everybody, you know, it's a great demographic of women that just want to, you know, break and want to get creative and want to meet new people. And they're online, you know, they're people that are online and read blogs and, you know, so it's your people. It's you, you know, so it'd be like if you're podcasters, then you went to a, you know, house with a bunch of people that do podcasting, and it would all be, they would be speaking your language, and no one would think you were a weirdo at all. Yeah. So that's what it's like coming to the craft house. Like, everybody's like just excited that all these people like the same things they do. And
So do you kind of organize then the activities for the weekend? Like, are you the director of a retreat, or what does that look like once you get there?
Well, we have two different events, and one is called Craft Weekend, and that's what started it all. And that's just Friday to Sunday. And while we're there, Kimberly works with me, and she is extremely organized. And she does all the emailing and all of the things up, all the organizing up until and through the weekend. So anything that's done through email, she's working on that, and she's organizing who's coming and all when their flights come in and all of that.
Wow.
And then while we're Yeah.
I love the Kimberleys of the world.
Oh, I know.
And what would we do without the Kimberleys? Because I'd be in trouble.
I get asked all weekend, like, what are we, you know, what should I do with, you know, this? Or how should I, all these questions. And I always just look at them blank. I'm like, I need you to go ask that question to Kimberly, because I don't know the answer, or her answer will be completely different than mine, and her answer will be right. And so she's super organized. And then while we're there, she also does all the cooking. So she's an excellent cook. So she cooks for all 17 women the whole weekend. And
but you make the margaritas, don't you?
I do. Yeah,
that's an important aspect.
I'm excellent at margarita making, and I take that job very seriously. So, and then while we're there at the weekend, I am in charge of all the craft projects. So, yeah, so we're that. And then our other event is called Camp Create, and it's longer. It's Wednesday to Sunday instead of Friday to Sunday. And we have a speaker that comes in, and our speaker speaks every morning and every evening. And then we also have an art instructor or two that come in, and they'll teach like an all-day long creative workshop. And then the next day, the other instructor will teach an all-day long creative workshop. So, and I'll teach at that as well, with craft projects or art projects, art skills, things like that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of detail that go into all of that, as well as then the house aspect of it, like organizing who's, like having a cleaning crew come in and maintenance, you know, yard stuff, and just fixing things that break in a 100-year-old house when 16 women use it, you know, and use all the bathrooms and all of that. So there's that part of it too. There's that side of the work of it.
Yeah. Well, and just from the pictures that you post on your blog and on social media, you've created this beautiful, beautiful place that I imagine kind of contributes, just the vibe that you've created there, mm-hmm. I'm sure contributes to the weekend and the experience that the people have. You have, you know what, I think if listeners were to hop on your blog, just this fantastic aesthetic of beauty that you create, it seems to me, like everywhere you go.
Well, thanks. It's very fun to get to have, you know, I mean, when you have your own house, when you have your house that you live in with your family, you have to, I mean, you want everybody to like in the house what you're doing, right? I mean, you don't want your husband to like hate coming home because of all the pink flowers that you painted everywhere or something like that. You know, or you just have to compromise a lot more. But then when you have a craft house, it's my own thing, and I get to make every room how I want, and and say, you know, to my husband, like, trust me, it's good. Like, this is good, and I'm going to do this. And I like kind of, it's fun to not that I ever have to ask permission, but I get, it's just my own place. It is really, it's like a big, We joke that it's like a Barbie dream house.
It really
in
is.
In real life, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I just get, you know, if I, and for me too, I have another place to try different things, or try things that are like, maybe I wouldn't want to look at every day, but that I could try over there. And I, you know, I'm only there once a month. So, you know, like if you had to look at something every single day, you might get tired of it, but it's kind of fun to just do different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meg, you and I actually met when we traveled to Haiti with the Adventure Project. We were trying to figure that out about 4 years ago or so. And I remember I had been texting Jody Landers, and I had said, so who am I sleeping with at night? And she said, oh, you're sleeping with this woman named Meg. She's a blogger as well. And I was like, oh, is she like an adaptive mom blogger? And she's like, she's the opposite. and she's like, but you've got to check out her blog. And at first she said, Meg's creative talent will blow your mind. And I've spoken before on the podcast that I'm not great at kind of your typical crafts, but I, no joke, got sucked into your blog for hours before we went to Haiti, because the stuff you create is beautiful, it's colorful, and it really speaks to who you are, which I think you know, most of these people coming to the Craft House are coming because they're followers of your blog. And you don't give a ton of personal information. I mean, you're really good about speaking about your faith and about kind of your daily life, but you don't go super, super deep all the time. But somehow who you are really comes out through your creations, through your beautiful, both of your beautiful houses. So maybe just tell us, when did that start? When did you start to notice not only that you just liked constantly creating, but that you were really good at it and that it resonated with other women?
I think once growing up, or, you know, as a young married, you know, mom, that was something that I heard all the time when people would come over, like, oh, this is so nice. And mm-hmm. I don't think it necessarily was. When you look back, you're like, oh my gosh, such a beautiful recliner. No, you know, I mean, everybody's house, you know, things are mm-hmm. dated and stuff, and mm-hmm. but you do your best with what, you know, your budget is and what, how much, you know, like if
yeah.
you're, we still decorated our whole apartment, you know, even though it was a really crappy little apartment, you know, I still decorated it all and hung stuff on all the walls and, you know, tried to make it look really nice. So I think that's always been there. My mom was really into, is still into that as well, just interior decorating. And we have different style, but it's, you know, still, it's still there. And just, yeah. I think growing up with her, caring about all those details and hearing her friends say the same thing, like to her always, that, oh, your house is so nice. Or even my friends saying that growing up, like, your house is so nice. Mm-hmm. I love to come here because it's so pretty. And, you know, and that's something that I, you know, wanted as well. I, you know, and I wanted my bedroom at even my bedroom was trashed as a kid and a teenager. I thought it was, you know, I didn't look right. at all the stuff on the floor. I just liked how I had everything hung on the wall and all of that, and my wallpaper that I chose. And mm-hmm. So I think that's always just been there in me.
So how did the blog start then?
Oh, blogging is funny because I've been blogging for a long time, like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started a blog similar to Craft Weekend, like, I don't know, that would be fun, maybe. You know, I could maybe do that. I used to be really into scrapbooking, and there were two scrapbookers that I really liked, and they started selling product at Michael's or Hobby Lobby, and I would look at their product, and on the back, they started putting people's blogs on the back of their scrapbooking product. So Allie Edwards was one, and she's still a super big blogger. I mean, blogger and on social media. Mm-hmm. And so she's still around. And then, so I, like, went home. And this, like, you know, I mean, computers were different back then, too. So I got on my big computer and typed, like, I had written it down on a piece of paper in my purse. So I typed in the address of this blog. And I was like, oh, and I just read and read and read all of her stuff. And so after doing that for several months, we had moved, a few months before, we had lived in Chicago area for 10 years. And so now we had moved back to where we had grown up, but just kind of very lonely and missing my friends a lot in Chicago. And so I said to myself, like, I'll just start this. Maybe I can do this blogging, and that way we can keep in touch, because there wasn't an easy way 10 years ago mm-hmm. to share photos. Mm-hmm.
So on the podcast, we love the idea of meaningful community with people, and we recognize that that can happen physically, but also virtually. So, well, if you could just talk a little bit about just the community that not only you have felt in your life, so whether it's your online community or your actual physical community there in Kansas, but also I'd love to hear about the community that you witness during these weekends where women fill the Craft House.
Yeah. The Craft House, the women that come, it's so interesting because, like I said, they don't know each other. You know, and even if you know just one person, you're in a group with 16 women. So, you know, you're not going to just sit there and only talk to your friend the whole time. Mm-hmm. And they share rooms as well. the women that come, I think they are surprised by the friendships that they go home with at the craft house. And especially at our longer event, the camp, they come, those women so far, of the three camps we've had, no one knows each other. So they are coming for 5 days to spend with 16 women that they've never met. And it gets pretty deep. Our speaker is pretty serious. I mean, it's great. And so it gets pretty deep and it gets pretty vulnerable, and we ask them to participate a lot and really think a lot and journal a lot. And so there's a lot of growth and a lot of just a lot of feelings while they're there. And so those groups are very close, and each group has stayed in touch, like through Facebook and Facebook groups and things. And it's amazing. And I get each time just super weepy. I cry a lot anyway, a lot, but like just this morning, my daughter came out from her room. She goes, "Are you crying already?" It was 6:30. It was 6:30 in the morning. And I said, "Well, it was a video of a little boy, and it was his, she was talking about his dad," but she was like, "Mom, it's 6:30. You're already crying." So I just am very sentimental. So anyway, those women, I get really weepy about it, because always on the last night, they're just like, this is such an amazing group of women. And I'm just, these are friends for life. And I watch that and just, always am just praising the Lord, saying, this is amazing, because I just, just doing what you've gifted me at, of just providing a place for these women. And then they come and God, that's what we always say too, like God picks that group. It's chosen by Him. We have no say in who's coming. We don't, deny anyone a spot or choose spots for them. So, from the beginning, we're always praying for each of them and saying, how excited we are for this exact special group that God's put together. Like, we're all meant to be in this room together. We're meant to worship together, learn together, grow together. And it's been so cool to watch the groups that He pulls together and what they needed. And they're each different. And it's just awesome. It's so cool to see how, it doesn't mean that I am so important to those people. It's that they are all there, and like someone was there for the other, like they're just there because, maybe this one person needed to meet that other person, and it doesn't have anything to do with me other than I provided the place that we could all be together. And it's just really beautiful to watch that and to be a part of it. That's what I'm always just grateful that, that God lets me be a part of, that and bringing those friendships together. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be, the best friends with them, with each one of them. But they might meet their best friend there, and they may, really need someone who, a lot of people don't have, creative people don't necessarily have other creative people around them to support that. And so to be there together with a room full of creative people that get you, it's a special thing. So, and the blog community, 99% of it is beautiful people who are kind and, encouraging, and, you've got some negative people that you could throw in there, but you just got to ignore those. Those people that, want to give everybody a bad day. But almost all, are people that just want to share their gifts and encourage you to share yours. And so I felt, 10 years ago that was obviously what I needed, was just a friend. And so I found that through blogging, which seems so weird, but I have so many friends online. Yeah. And, I go on trips to Africa or Haiti and meet new friends, and I would never have gotten to, that's not an opportunity that I would have been able to do had I not been a blogger or had that online community that I sought out. So I'm in love with all of it. I love all the stuff that the online community has brought into my life, for sure.
one of the nights that we were up late in Haiti, probably sweltering, hot, just going to get comfortable, you and I were talking. I think you had moved from one place in Kansas to another or something. I don't remember the details, but just in my experience moving from college to, you know, the city that we first lived in as well, was it can be so hard to find your tribe locally, and just how big of a gift it is, because I too started blogging because I felt really lonely. I was the only one I knew going through an adoption, right? And so we talked about how, what a gift it is really to have the ability to build a tribe, like Leslie said, through various forms, you know, virtually, now in podcasts, and then to translate that to your craft weekend, where then you become actual, as my husband says, real friends, real life friends.
Real life friends, yep.
I mean, that's just, it's really cool. I loved hearing you say, you know, you wouldn't have gotten a lot of the opportunities you've now been given if it weren't for that. People kind of can, you know, the online world can get a bad name because of, like you said, the 1% of maybe negativity, but really that's at the risk of the 99% of joyfulness.
That's what a lot of them say when they come in. Like, I can't believe, you know, that I'm meeting you now in real life. And I'm, you know, you're always like, yep, here I am, you know, I'm just, because I'm the same on online as off. And, you know, so it's always fun to like be there in person and be like, yes, here I am. You know, I can give you a hug. I can like, here, I'll cry. And all those kinds of things, like, and be able to answer truth. Like, not that I'm ever not truthful, but be able to give the real answer when they ask you something about your family or just different things. I mean, there's plenty of things you can't just write online, right? And for out of respect for all kinds of people in your life, mm-hmm. and just all kinds of things. So they can ask you something and it's just, I don't know. It's cool to get to meet people that, you know, that you only know online, and then to get that real life connection, just take another level.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems that so many people are hungry for that. You know, there's just the people that are reading the blogs, but then also these people who are willing to make the journey to Kansas to, you know, engage with you and engage with one another. So it's clearly, we want to be connected. I think we're built for that. And there's just lots of really interesting ways to do that now. Meg, you've used this blog and this kind of platform for really great things. So you invite people to come together and you do what you can to fill that need that people have for friendship and community. You also went to Haiti with the Adventure Project and have done other traveling. So what is it about you that propels you to kind of not only look for the physically beautiful things in the world and surround yourself with them, but also to invite others and to share your own ideas about what's good and move that forward in the world?
When I think about what I love, and or like just even with Instagram, when I think about what I want to show or what I want to, it's not fake for me. Like it's not all set up to look like this is pretty. And I mean, if sometimes I would, yeah, I'll move a shirt out of the picture, like a, you know, or socks on the floor. I'll move that out to take the picture. I want to look at a pretty picture. I don't want to look at socks on the floor in front of those, you know, flowers, but
right.
So I'll do that, but I'll, you know, I'm perfectly fine to say I moved the socks out of this picture. I'm never like faking that I have this perfect life. But I think over time I realized that I'm always searching for beautiful things, like with my eyes all the time, everywhere. I'm always looking for pretty things. When I was really at the time, like when I was super into photography, I was always looking around and seeing things. I see things that other people don't see, which I didn't know. Like, not saying like no one sees, but you know, there's just an eye. I thought everyone saw these things, And the older I get, everyone tells me, like, that's not how my brain works. That's how your brain works. Mm-hmm. And I've met plenty of people whose brain works like mine. But so I'm always looking and seeing things and wanting to, like, remember them and capture them, see them again, take a picture of them, you know, all of that. And so I think over time, that's what I realized that my blog was, that it was, and everyone, like, would use words like, you're so real and you're so, you know, which, whatever, how can you ever know if something is truly real? But I just was always looking for beautiful things, and that's what I ended up over time realizing, that that's what my blog is going to be. And what I want my Instagram to also be is just mostly positive, happy place to escape to and inspire and encourage other people to be creative, be themselves, look for beautiful things, look for the pretty stuff in life. And not necessarily, I mean, there's pretty things in very sad things as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go to Haiti and see the poverty around you, but there's so much beauty there and so much, you know, so much love and wonderful things there in that, what Americans or what we would think is like, oh, that's so sad, you know, or, oh, I just feel so bad for them. But that's what you might think when you look at the picture at first. But if you really look, I mean, the colors are there and the faces are there and their smile is so beautiful. And, you know, they're a beautiful person in that photo. And so that's kind of how I view it. And when I look at what I want to put every day on my Instagram or what I want to blog about, I try to just keep it uplifting and positive. I'm not confrontational at all. So I don't want to start anything. I don't want to write anything that's going to start any arguments or anything like that. I mean, anytime I've said anything controversial, I'm like, I'm sorry, and I take it off. You know, like, I didn't mean it like that, and I take it, you know, I take it back, and I didn't mean that, and I don't want to fight. You know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I mean, in an adult way, I just want to be respectful of people. I have a backbone and all of that, but I don't want to intentionally hurt someone or any group of people or, you know.
Well, there's a lot of negative voices in this world, so I think it's wonderful when you recognize your purpose as being a positive one, you know, and you might not, I think you're being really authentic in saying that, you know, every moment of your day doesn't include beautiful flowers. However, when it does, you're going to be the person that shares that beauty with others. And I think that's an admirable thing, especially when you do have a platform, or, you know, when people are looking at your pictures or when you're inviting people into your home. It's not always easy to recognize the beautiful. Sometimes you have to look really hard, and it is kind of a mindset too of, I know, and I can't wait to talk about thrifting with you, but I know it's sort of the thrifter's eye, right? That you can kind of walk into what some people might think of as like a really gross, dingy place, but like find this tremendous beauty amid someone else's trash.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think sometimes we forget that it's totally okay to have a space where you pour just positive in, and then be willing to recognize, because I've met you in real life, you're also willing to recognize that life isn't always good. It's not like you're just turning a blind eye to the sad or whatever. And the reality is, on your blog, you do kind of bring these international issues up as well. Like, you have done campaigns for things like the Adventure Project. So what makes you want to use your large blog platform to kind of further missions like the Adventure Project?
This is God's blog. This is not for me. This is for Him. And all of my words should be for Him. And I've made this whole thing about me. Like, up to that moment, I thought, this blog is about me and what I like and how cute my kids are and how great my house is and how cute my clothes are. And in that moment, out, and I thought, oh my gosh, like I'm so off base here. And I want that. My point was, and I want it to be that. Mm. And I want it to be, you know, if God grows this bigger, I want something new to come up to raise money for or to talk about. So let's do this for, let's see where God brings this.
So when did faith become so important to you, Meg? Has it been something that you've always valued and been a major part of your life? Or what has that journey been like?
Yeah, I was a little girl when I accepted Jesus. And, you know, it's always a long journey, right? Mm-hmm. And plenty of mistakes and all of that. But, you know, I don't remember a time that I didn't know God. We went to, you know, my mom took us to church. And so we've always had that. I mean, there are several things like during my, as I've grown up of, you know, claiming things as this is what I believe and this is why I believe it. And, mm-hmm. Things that you want to stand for, in the last, just through using the blog in just ways that I would have been afraid to, or afraid to step out on. And some things that you raise money for, I just would be afraid and like, no one's even going to do this. And then, you know, just saying, okay, God, whatever you want this to be, I'll do it. And we've raised money too for lots of adoptions and different mm-hmm. families as well. So it's been great to just to see where God wants to take it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'm dying to know. You are an expert thrifter in my eyes. I want to go thrifting with you. I want to go to your thrift stores in your area. Tell me why you love it and give me some tips.
I love it because I love to get a good deal. I mean, that's a big thing for me. I love to walk away, you know, with something great for like $5. And I mean, I don't mind spending money either. I can do that, but there's certain things I just hate to spend money on. And I love to find stuff. I love to, like I was saying that, you know, like when you're just all of a sudden like, this is amazing, and no one else in your group thinks it's at all, but you're like, no, I need this. And yeah, I don't know, old stuff just always has so much color and character, and I'm really into, you know, fonts and great graphics and old labels and things like that. I love to find stuff like that, or handmade quilts and mm-hmm. all the colors that are in an old quilt and the patterns. And I always think it's interesting when you look at a quilt, you know, that's all these little pieces and like, oh, they liked polka dots too. Like, you know, this, this is exactly what I would buy now, this fabric, you know, in this little square, or there's plaid in there and all these different things that we love now. They liked it too, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And it's just fun to think about that. And I would say why I love to thrift is mostly that hunt, that thrill of mm-hmm. finding something in all that junk. And it doesn't mean it's important to anybody else. It's just something that I liked. And I don't know, just kind of saving something too from the past.
Mm-hmm. So Meg, we on the podcast talk about the mother self. And like we said in the intro, you do have 5 kids. And we often find that moms don't take care of their other self. And really, the other self is just everything that includes not being a mom. So obviously, you have the craft weekends and you have kind of your personal day-to-day crafts and creative work that you do. But what do you do that is just for you that you don't think about, like, oh, this would be good on the blog or this would be on Instagram? Like, what do you do that is just for Meg?
That's an interesting question of what do I do that wouldn't be. That's a hard line as a professional blogger mm-hmm. to even have. Do we have moments where you're not thinking, oh, that would be good. That'd be a good blog post. So there's that's a hard line to find of like, you know, I'm going to do this. I think I do a lot of, I am a loner, which is, I think it's just different than maybe what people assume, but I'm pretty much by myself a lot, and that's by choice. I mean, I think I could ask people to go out to lunch and hang out and stuff, but with five kids, when they're at school, that's my time that's, I mean, it's silent at home. Like, there's no music on. It is just quiet. And so I do, that's one thing I do for me. I love massage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of getting massages often. And I have a cleaning lady who cleans my house. And I know that's not like, like personal, but it is for me because I hate cleaning so much.
Oh,
I really hate it. And it just was something that I never felt I could ever catch up on. I could never be good enough, you know, and I don't have like super high standards, but it just felt like I hate doing it so much. I hate mopping. I hate all of it. And I couldn't ever catch up. And so it just always felt like I was never getting there. And so I started getting a cleaning service, and what a difference it has made in all of our lives. Like, it's just so freeing.
We always like to end visits with guests with a segment that we call the Obsess Sesh. So Meg, tell us three things that you are currently obsessed with.
I was stressing thinking about this. like, just looking around my house, like, what am I obsessed with? I don't even know.
Maybe you're not obsessed with anything. That's probably much healthier. That's probably okay.
And I'm like, what was it that I was going to say?
Oh. I mean, Meg, my first obsession that I ever said on the podcast was my new debit card. So it doesn't need to be profound. Like, life's little joys.
Well, I started drinking black coffee like a month ago. And I don't know what changed in me? Like, why do my taste buds all of a sudden like this? It makes no sense.
Like, did you used to drink it with cream, and now you drink?
Yeah, like almost white. And so then,
interesting. Like,
2 years ago or a year ago, I switched to coconut milk, and I never loved that, but it was healthier and better. So I was doing that, and then all of a sudden, I was just like, I don't even want it anymore. So I just thought, I'll just try it. Black, and it was like, oh, this is fine. So now I drink even more coffee than I was drinking before, so I don't know if that's good or bad, but
I feel like that's a major life event, actually.
Like, I feel like I turned 40 and my whole life is a mess. I bought a pair of jeans at Gap last week. I went in to return a pair of jeans and leave, and then she said, oh, just so you know, all of our markdowns are 30% off, you know? And I was like, oh,
dang. Okay.
Well, I wasn't even like, I still didn't even think I would find anything, but I walked by and then I thought, well, okay, these, and I was wrong. So I went like in the dressing room thinking, wow, these jeans are going to be $25, you know? And no, they weren't. Those weren't on sale.
Of course.
They were so great that I was like, I have to have these. And they're capris, or they're ankle.
Mm-hmm. Ankle. Yeah, tell us everything.
Yes, they're true skinny. I think the word is resolution.
Oh.
True skinny resolution. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. And they're ankle jeans, and they have like frayed at the bottom. So they're like just like cut off like a raw edge at the bottom.
Okay, cute. But that sounds really cute.
They are super cute, but they go way up, which I was not into the high waist fad that came back. But once you put them on, I've had five kids and I'm not great at ab workouts. So if you put them on, they go all the way up to your belly button. So that's.
I love that. I love that. I've been doing that for years. Like, all right, what's your third obsession?
I can do an obsession for you, which is just your house, and specifically that, was it your grandma's like cow's head or what?
Yeah.
Did you just hang?
I love that.
I'm obsessed with it. It's so cool.
I love that. Yeah, when my grandma passed away, we went over, and you know, you got to go through things. And I thought that was something that I always loved at her house. And she used it on, she had it on the side of her cabinet door, on the side of her cabinet. So like on it. So, like, I can't imagine drilling a hole in the side of my cabinets, but she did. And so, and it hung, her tea towels were always hung over its ears, you know? And I just loved that. And I, it was just a memory that I always loved in her kitchen. And so I was like, can I have this? And everyone said it was okay. And then I forgot about it because we moved, and because I didn't want to put it up. It was right when we were moving. So we moved and I didn't want to put it at the rental. Mm-hmm. And so I forgot about it. And then I, you know, was so happy to remember. I saw it in the cabinet. I was like, oh my gosh. So happy that it's home and living at our house and I can think of my grandma. So yeah, that's a great one. That's good. Good suggestion.
Yeah. Well, we will be sure to link your blog and your Instagram, all of that, because I really do think you're so good at spreading beauty in the world. So thanks for giving us a little bit of your beauty for an hour. We really appreciate it.
It was fun to talk to you, Meg.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to end today with the Mama Bear Dares. Today, we dare you to pay attention to the good things and the pretty things. Give yourself the space to pay attention and to acknowledge the beauty and the goodness around you. There are so many negative voices and so many critics in this world. Today, take a breath and seek joy. We understand that some of you are feeling cloudy and overwhelmed in these moments, and it's hard. It's really hard to see what's good. But even within the murkiest moments, we challenge you to find three things, two things, maybe just one thing that you find lovely. Is it the curl of your daughter's eyelash? The first taste of your after-lunch chocolate? Is it the tulip dressed in yellow? Seek beauty, Mama Bears. It's these moments of lovely that give us the strength of soul that we pull from our reserves when life gets hard. Fill up your soul, Mama Bears. Watch for the pretty things.
Absolutely. So mamas, we want to hear from you. We're gathering questions for our upcoming Q&A episode, so ask us anything. Anything. We're going to consider it all. So you can email us at mamabeardares@gmail.com. Or, of course, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can message us on Facebook. We would love to hear from you.
Yes. Thanks so much for listening. If you have an idea for a future guest, make sure to hit us up on any of the ways that Tessie just listed. We will be back for a midweek Mama Bear Mini on Wednesday, and then an interview with one of the most amazing women that you've never heard of on the following Monday. Until next time, have a great week.
Have a great week. Am I the only one who ever clears my throat and coughs on this podcast? I don't know. I mean, I edit it out every time, but I do it all the time.
You don't do your vocal warm-ups before?
Maybe that's
like
what
the,
I
Like, no.
That's why I wasn't ready when you...
Yeah, that's what you were doing.
At 10:15, I was doing my warm-ups.
So today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.com/mama.
Wait. You said www.com.
But did I say it with more so much enthusiasm that you wanted to go to www.com?
I think let's go to www.com and see what's that even look like.
100% porn, I guarantee it.
Oh, God.
All right, I'll retry that.